When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm James D'Amato, your host and game master. Heroes, this week we are concluding our adventure with Wander Home. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us and Possum Creek Games for sponsoring this series. It was a delight to play this game and show it off to all of you, and I hope so many of you were inspired to go out and pick up a copy of your own, because I know you're going to love it. Before we get to the show, I want to remind everyone that OneShot is supporting the 2021 IGDN Diversity Sponsorship, a program that connects game designers from different backgrounds with the resources they need to make their games a reality. That includes financial support, professional mentorship, and access to professional tools. It is a wonderful program, and it has helped so many designers on their path to making new and interesting games. If you're like me and you think new and interesting games are a good thing for the gaming community, then I highly recommend heading out and donating to this sponsorship. That money helps the program support more people. All you need to do is go to fundly.com/2021-IGDN-diversity-sponsorship and donate whatever you like. OneShot is matching the first $1,000 of donations, so if you donate now, you will literally double your money. And I have also been posting the weird random TikToks that I have saved to my phone for some reason in response to every $10 of donation. So you can expose my weird TikTok habits. All you need to do is go and give a small amount of money to this sponsorship. Now then, with all of that out of the way, let's get to the show.
At the far end of the room, the bar. Behind the bar, you see a large, friendly-looking beaver. At the bar, there's really only one person there. You're surprised. Usually, you'd expect, this place is so packed, everybody's lounging around, having a great time. You just see a big rat slumped over at the bar. And when you look over, you think the rat might have just been looking at you. But it's slumped over. How could he have been doing that?
Tinsel, my friend, I think you found something quite meaningful amongst your letters there, but I would be careful not to hold it up in the firefly light again. There may be unfriendly eyes in this place.
Oh, huh. Typically all letters are meaningful in some meaning or another, but no, I get what you're saying.
Let me tell you, my old university sent out a lot of meaningless letters. Believe.
And he should not. Yeah. Oh, they did.
Yes, they certainly did. I wanted to speak to you both prior to discovering that orchid letter, which... Orchid. I'm going to look at Nisha and say, am I much mistaken, or were there something about orchids or some type of lilies or something in the book that night when you showed me the book in the university?
Nisha's, like, looking thoughtfully. There are, like, crumbs all over her face from the two pieces of pie that she has had. She, like, looks thoughtfully. Yes, something about a flower. There's been a lot of flowers today that have been meaningful. But I remember something about finding a flower, and then a path will be illuminated. And she pulls out, like, a book almost unconsciously, and just starts kind of flipping through it as she's kind of thinking, and just kind of opens it up to like a seemingly random page. Well, let's see if maybe we can find a way to find an orchid. And then she kind of mutters something to herself and then pats her firefly, who shifts and like a path appears just on the ground, like kind of going off in a direction.
Yeah, the firefly begins to lead the way as it flits along this path, weaving between the benches and the people. It lands on the bar next to the rat. And the rat looks up and tries to shoo the firefly away, but the firefly steals itself and stares down the rat, who goes, oh, my apologies.
As we're walking over to the, or I guess if some of us are walking over to the bar, I'm going to nod at Nisha and start walking over to the bar, keeping an eye on Rose and Mooch. I'm going to say to Tinsel and Nisha as well, and say,
Mooch described to me the figure of a one-eyed man appearing to him in dreams. The dreams of children have throughout time immemorial on the heath been deeply connected to prophecy and the role of destiny in this place. So I would not be quick to dismiss Mooch's dream, even if it were not familiar to me. And I will tell you this now. The figure in his dream is deeply familiar to me. The selfsame figure who left a young rose on my doorstep.
Oh, that's fascinating. I wonder if their stories are connected.
Yeah. Mooch was mentioning that earlier today. We met... Well, all of this seems a little connected. We met a flower in a tree when we were racing. I probably should have mentioned that earlier. But we had to finish the race first.
Naturally.
Yeah, and they asked about dreams, and Mooch talked about this dream that he had. But I just thought he was making a fanciful tale like he does. But you've had... I now that you mention it, I remember your tales about this...
Yes, the figure.
This one-eyed creature.
Yes, indeed.
What kind of flower was it that you were speaking to?
What kind of flower was it? I don't know.
It was a peach flower.
Ooh. It was... Oh, it was a peach flower. I knew. I remember now, because it made me really want peaches.
The peach flower? Well, could it... I suppose it could be. I mean, perhaps it could be.
That's a story, right?
Yes, there's a local piece of folklore in this area about a prophetic peach blossom.
Oh.
An otter sort of pokes his head up nearby and goes, oh, but I thought that was all hogwash. Surely you haven't actually met the blossom.
Well, I haven't come here to wash any hogs, so I would expect you to. I'm going to put you on the list behind Mooch. I'll find a way to roast you, too.
Behind Lawrence, there is a pig that's in a towel with a bathing cap and a wash brush that just lowers its shoulders dejectedly and turns around.
Turn around. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'd be more than happy to wash you. I meant that. Absolutely would be delighted to wash you.
He's just patting him on, like, awkwardly on the back. It's all right. I'm sure you have plenty of offers.
It's really hard to reach my back.
He's just like, that's okay.
I would really appreciate it.
Look, we'll get everyone in the tavern and we'll all take turns washing you later on this evening, all right?
Really?
Yes, everyone. We'll round everybody up and we'll all wash you together.
You're the nicest turtle I've ever met.
Oh, that's very kind. And I appreciate the vulnerability you're showing and, you know, putting yourself out there. We need to go get washed. We all need to get washed from time to time. And
it is incredibly vulnerable to be in a crowded tavern in only a towel.
I know, but you've done something very brave, and I commend you for it.
Thank you so much.
It's a lovely towel, by the way. It suits you so well. It brings out your eyes.
Yes.
The pig wipes a tear from their eye. It's such a nice towel.
I think Tinsel's just blushing and just, like, trying to, like, not look directly at them because bashful. Apparently, they're really bashful. So they're like, oh, look, the bar. I'm going to go that way.
So, Tinsel, you're heading off to the bar?
Yeah, I think they're like, oh, we probably need a drink. Yes. It just turns and walks off.
Just like, excuse me, hope your bath goes well, goodbye.
Yeah, so as you head over to the bar, you see the rat slumped over with an empty glass, and the firefly also drinking from a glass. Aww. You're not sure where the firefly got it from, probably the beaver. And behind the bar, the beaver goes, hey, name's Petunia. Can I get something for you?
Oh, hello, Petunia. I haven't been here since your mother's been here, but it's good to see that the bar's still running.
Yeah. I mean, I only took it over a couple years ago, but it's been real good. Yeah, no. I mean, we get people from all over. And we got lots of locals who come and frequent, which is nice, you know, just in the same way that it's nice to hear new stories from new people. It's nice to hear old stories from old people.
And your mother had the best of stories, and I really enjoyed whenever I did swing by here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you want some schnapps?
Should I be drinking this early in the morning with the children in tow? They think out loud. I was like, they look back at the children at the table.
I could also get you some water or some sassafras.
Oh, sassafras. Yes, please.
All right, sassafras. She turns around, starts busying herself, gets a big foamy mug, hands it over to you. Well, there you go.
Oh, thank you. And I'm going to look for some monies and like puts whatever money... they have here, like on the counter for payments.
Bless you.
That's how systems work.
Yes. And Petunia, with a practiced grab, slides the money over. As you hear it clink against some other coins in her apron.
Yeah. And I think Tins is going to look around for seeing if their friends are still talking to the hog in a towel or not, or if they're making their way over.
I think when you turn, Nisha's just right there beside you.
Did you want some sassafras? I got a big cup. I don't know if I'll be able to finish it.
Oh, yeah, maybe. But then she like goes up to the bar and is trying to like look cool, like how she thinks you should be at a bar. And she kind of puts like a wing up on the counter and she's like, yeah, I'll take one of whatever you got for birds. Petunia, she's not entirely sure she hears, but she's just like gonna keep that pose for a little bit.
Yeah, Petunia's just like, well, I mean, birds can drink anything, is like what she's thinking to herself. She's like looking at all of the various bottles. She seems to fix something together. It's pink and sweet. Yes. And she puts it in front of you.
Yeah, Nisha pulls out like a pocket full of slightly bruised berries and leaves and just keeps on putting out more. And she's like nodding to Petunia.
When?
And she like puts a couple more out and she's like, I think that'll cover it.
All right, then.
I think Tinsel's like drinking their drink and just like looking like, where did you get all these berries from? Like just like giving them the like big eyes like, where did they come from?
I'd like to approach the bar, I think, with my friends, with Tinsel and Nisha. Or have you guys returned with your drinks?
No, we haven't returned yet. Like, I was still at the bar.
I'm going to join you at the bar and lean over to speak to Petunia and say, Petunia, absolute pleasure to see the place lively as always. I don't know if you recall me. I was here when I was working on my doctoral thesis. We came through for a bit of a ramble, myself and some of my fellow graduate students.
Okay.
No, okay. Cold shoulder, that's fine. We'll keep rolling right along. What I wanted to ask if I... would be so kind. I was wondering if I could do a favor for an old friend and perhaps settle the tab for our rather sleepy friend down here at the end of the bar. I'm going to point to the rat at the end of the bar.
Oh, you want to settle Mickle's tab?
I assume, has he been drinking much this evening or no?
I mean, that's most of what Mickle does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he has been...
It's a bit of a fish of a rat.
Oh, I understand. Yes, well, alcoholism. So Mikkel has actually been imbibing. He's in his cups, so to speak.
Yeah. Some days are better than others.
Mm. Very well.
Yeah.
Hold that thought one moment, Petunia. And Lawrence is going to take his sort of, you know, ill-gotten knowledge, and is going to walk down the bar towards Mikkel, the rat.
Mm-hmm.
My fine fellow, you seem out of sorts. You've fallen asleep in a place of merrymaking. Can I interest you in a crust of bread and some hot broth to help settle your stomach?
What?
You've fallen asleep with your head on the wood of the bar. This is normally a bit of a...
There's a wood pattern on his fur.
Yes!
Yeah.
As long as we're describing Mikkel physically, can I also layer on that Mikkel wears maroon pants with two big buttons on the front and like, dingy gloves?
Sure.
James!
Tempting fate, the most litigious company in the history of the world.
This is Mikkel the Rat. I don't know what you're talking about. these are eggshell gloves.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Yeah. And he's got a different amount of fingers than whatever amount any other famous rodents might have.
He's got seven fingers on each hand.
And he's got a small key-shaped dagger.
perfect. Mm-hmm. My good man, you've fallen asleep with your face on the bar. This is a faux pas in a public house of any sort of drinking establishment. Why don't you get some hot soup and some bread in you? I'd be more than happy to treat you. And I will wave towards, like, either... if there's either, like, a place to serve yourself, I will just grab some. Or if people are being served, I will, like, wave someone down.
Mikkel points a finger up in the air and confidently states, "You, sir, are a noble and peerless soul."
It's a very touching compliment, Mikkel. I appreciate it. What moves you to speak thus on my character, having just now met?
Why, your actions. They're only the actions of someone unimpeachable.
Well, Mikkel, and I think you all can see that I'm a pretty level-headed guy, but flattery does work on Lawrence a little bit. So he's like, "Well, now here's a man who's here's a gadabout, here's a hearty John. Well, very well. I'd be more than happy to let's get him another drink. And pull me a no drinks. Sorry, soup and bread is what's called for. Soup and bread."
Yes, we will drink the soup.
And we shall eat the bread. And I'm going to give him a little cheers with a crust of bread.
Yeah, Mikkel cheers you back as he nibbles on the bread. So, what business do you have here?
Well, we're attending the business we have here. Making some time from long travels on the road and engaging in some consumption of fine victuals with such estimable companions as yourself. Tell me, Mikkel.
Yes.
It seems that you are a resident of the town, acquainted with its comings and goings.
Well, I've been here a bit. I'm not from here. I'm from around, you know.
Ah, to be from around, I understand it well. Mikkel, you and I have become fast friends of a sort, and...
Oh, how could I not be friend with one such glorious, noble soul as you?
I like the cut of your jib, Mikkel. So, let me be the first to ask then.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of my friend's letter? And I'm going to really look and see what Mikkel's reaction is to me saying that.
Mikkel, like, pauses frozen.
What's the problem, Mikkel? Moth got your tongue?
No.
Let it go, Mikkel.
Mikkel comes in close to you and says, "Because I know that you are a true friend to me, I shall tell you quietly." I think the letter's for me.
I'm going to look up and see that the Firefly did light our way here. Mm-hmm. This is not me, Brennan, misremembering, but this is what Lawrence is going to say.
So, the letter with an invisible rose on its cover. That letter was meant for you.
It's not a rose, it's an orchid.
Lawrence smiles. Mikkel passed the test. I'm going to look over I'm going to look over to Tinsel and Nisha, and yeah, I will I'm going to look at them and say and sort of like nod my head over this way. And the kids as well, I think. I don't want the kids to be too far. Yeah, or
oh, we're gone.
Oh, the kids. Are
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, Mooch and Rose are out of sight.
We're definitely not there. Yeah.
Nisha comes up to you and is like walks up, maybe with like Tinsel coming with her, and just happens to look over and is like, I think the kids are gone.
Oh, and I just book out of there, leaving you two to like talk with Mikkel. I'm like, the letter, it's Mikkel, ah! And I'm going to sprint out looking for the children.
Where did the children go?
So we are riding on the back of that frog that we met earlier in the whirlpool.
And I think that let's stick with Mikkel first for a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we'll catch back up.
It's just a quick flash to them and then back.
Yay!
Oh, no. Yeah, as Nisha and Tinsel are like, where did they go?
Yeah. Mikkel looks to the two of you expectantly and reaches up to his shirt collar and pulls it down to expose a orchid tattoo on his chest.
Ooh. Another legally distinct difference between Mikkel and parties unknown.
I believe that you have something for me.
Oh, I guess I do then.
Noble and gracious moth tender.
I think I have a letter for you. Hold on. And then like goes back into their bag and like pulls it out and hands it over both hands.
Oh, you are so kind to this package, this parcel.
Of course, I try to keep everything because I know they're full of love, or at least the ones I carry are full of love. I know Lawrence has mentioned the university sent out useless ones before. But these are full of love.
I'm sure you would carry no letter that was not full with love. And by your carrying it, it would be only full with more love to bursting.
Morgan, I have a question for you. Are we learning that Tinsel is immune to flattery?
I don't know.
Because Mikkel is laying it on thick, and you've just been like, yeah, I'm a mail carrier. That's just my job.
It's my job.
It's important to me, but, you know.
I think it's like the proper like exterior that they have. Mm-hmm. But inside, they're like that thumper from like Bambi. So I'm like, oh gosh.
Okay.
But they're like, oh, thank you. I try to do what I can.
All of us within our cause, thank you.
Mm. I recognize. I don't ask. I recognize. And Tinsel gives like a little nod and then pushes the glasses back up their nose and like...
Mikkel gives a nod and goes, perhaps I have been drinking here a little too long. And he clutches the letter tightly.
I think Nisha pushes over like a glass of water. This might help pep you up. And then she just kind of does like a knowing nod. What they've been saying.
Thank you. And Mikkel downs the glass of water and goes, can you open the letter?
You want me to open the letter? Typically I try not to open any letters, but with your consent I will. Mm-hmm. And they go in their bag and they actually pull like a really nice like letter opener that they have just for certain situations.
What does it's it like, look like?
Yeah, I think it's like really like bright silver with a moth at the end of it.
Wow.
It's the official moth tender letter opener that they were given.
Oh, like the moths that have like those droopy like tail things.
Yeah, it sort of like comes down and like it comes to a point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Good. Yeah, Mikkel is tightly holding onto the letter and then all at once releases his grip to give the letter back to you. Yeah.
And I think Tinsel delicately like goes under the edge and then like lifts up the seal without like breaking it. Because mm-hmm. they know how like wax seals are very nice. Mm-hmm. And then go around and open it up and then hold it open for them to pull out the letter.
Do I deserve this letter?
Of course you do. It's for you.
Oh, I suppose yes. And Nicol grabs the letter and opens it and sits down and begins reading.
And I think with that, Tinsel's going to nicely fold the envelope back and like try to stick the seal just a little bit. Like he can easily pop it off, but like not like, mm-hmm. you know, it's not going to take much force. And lays the envelope just neatly next to them. And then just turn to Nisha and be like, we should probably help find the children.
I think Nisha was very, like, just focused on what was happening. Like, this is, mm-hmm. I've never seen a ritual like this. And then kind of pulls open her book really quickly and just writes down a couple of notes and titles it A Note Between Friends.
Oh.
And then puts it quickly back down. Mm-hmm. I'll have to keep that one in mind. That was excellent. I hope that letter contains something that you wanted to read.
Mikkel seems happy reading through the letter. And you have just delivered the wax-sealed love letter to the...
the heroic leader of the Outpost of the Love Rebellion?
Yep.
Oh, I love that.
I figured once they're like, that's for me, I was like, the cause was like, mm-hmm, okay, I know who you are.
Yeah.
I know who you is.
I see.
Also, so do I cross it off my prompts mm-hmm. now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Also, do I get a token because they took the letter that yes. I have when I said I have a letter mm-hmm. for you? Okay.
Nice. Good job. Love to deliver letters. So let's catch up a little bit with Mooch and Rose.
Yeah.
Two of you left alone, eating pies. At some point, I think Mooch is just like tucking into pies and... Rose looks up and goes, they're gone.
Yeah, I think it's the thing where like Mooch was enthusiastically eating and is like mid slice with one of these pies. And a detail that I would love for these mm-hmm. pies is that the syrupy filling within is so viscous, so slow moving, like molasses. It like would take a full 30 seconds to drip to the ground. That's just like how sweet and how yeah. like delicious it is.
I think the thick syrup, it's like so thick that it's still coloring that light as it passes through it as it drips down.
Yeah, and he does this thing that like I think geckos can like make kind of a chirpy sound.
Yeah.
He's got his mouth open like he's just casually very slowly eating this pie and talks from like the back of his throat. Are you sure?
Yes.
Then he like conspiratorially puts the fork down and moves closer to Rosie and goes, you want to hang out with me?
Yeah. One second.
All right.
Rose picks up a fork, looks at it and goes, which way to fun? The fork bends, pointing out.
Yes. I do believe, I think Brennan gets a token because when I ask someone if they want to hang out with me and they say yes, they get a token. Wow. And I believe Rosie is an accessory character to that. So then
Rosie can get her own tokens, actually. NPCs can have cool. tokens. Yeah. Everything can have tokens. Places can have tokens. Whatever you
sorry
want.
Sorry to cheat you out of a token, Brennan.
Dang.
Okay. So then I kind of would love us to smash cut to these two floating on the back of this frog in yeah. the river. And like it looks like, and I think for some frogs, when you swim through this water, some of them are like speed demons. They've got little frog goggles on and their whole thing is like zipping up and down and around this
a little
whirlpool.
Brown helmet with flaps. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there is another variety of frog, the type of frog that we have just happened upon in our group. There is the layabout frog. And the layabout frog approaches this as a lazy river, where sometimes, like, there are fast-moving sections, but for the most part, it's kind of like a slow drifting that we get. And so this frog is, like, literally floating on its back, and
doing
Rosie
the backstroke, yeah.
and Mooch are on its stomach, just like hanging out, having a fun time. Especially because we're not supposed to do this, but it's also not like whitewater dangerous yet.
I think the two of you somehow have a deck of cards.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
playing cards on this frog's belly.
We're doing a age-old thing that children do, which is we're playing a game that we don't know how to play.
Yes.
When my sister and I were very little, we had Pokemon cards, but we mm-hmm. had no idea how you play the game Pokemon cards, because it's an adult game with complicated rules if you are ADHD and you have no patience to read a rule book. So there's a deck of, like, cards like you know, whatever a tarot equivalent for the Wander Home universe is,
yeah.
that I think Rose has, and we are playing the game that we invented that is tarot cards. So what we don't know what we're doing right now is a very complicated, like, soothsaying read.
Yeah,
but we're like, we're like, nah, go fish.
Hey heroes, it's James, your game master, and welcome to the mid-roll. Heroes One Shot is brought to you by listeners like you, because we are funded almost entirely through donations to our Patreon. And before we get back to the show, I want to take a quick minute and thank some of our patrons. David Stott, thank you so much. Sophia, thank you. Olivia Toronto, thank you so much. Megan Richards, thank you very much. Lachlan Fleming, thank you. Justin Lowe, thank you very much. Lee Anderson, thank you. Will Baker, thank you so much. All right, the next up is Carmine, but apparently there was a processing issue with your name and some symbols got into it. I'm going to assume it is Carmine Del Alessandro. Thank you so much. Claire Minoglia, thank you. Tyler Saunders, thank you so much. Dane Thompson, thank you. Dwayne, the Dwayne, Dwayne. Thank you very much. Steven, thank you. Michael Miller, thank you so much. Hannah Monert, thank you. Donut Shoes, thank you very much. Joe White, thank you. Gaz and the Goblins have made you all milkshakes. Now, quickly, take them before it brings the boys. That was all one name. Thank you. And Ben. Thank you so much. Thanks again to everyone who supports us on Patreon. Without you, we wouldn't be able to make programs like this. Programs that I am sure you are enjoying. So, with all that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
Mm-hmm. All right. I play the big wolf. And it's a card with a picture of a big wolf on it.
All right. I activate the Knight of Many Eyes and, like, places down a card that has, like, a dark, unctuous forest full of many beady eyes glowing in the darkness. So I think you get 2 points.
I do, because wolves have eyes in the darkness.
Yep, two of them.
Two of them.
You're getting really good at this one, Rosie. Really good.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. For my next card, I play the fruit basket.
Ah, man.
I win immediately.
And I just drew the secret backpack.
Oh.
And he tosses down onto, like, this Oddly, it has been arranged like in a complicated sort of geometric fashion that if a seasoned fortune teller were to look at it, they would easily recognize this as a layover that they would do when they're telling one of like their mythic spreads. Mm-hmm. And falling into place is none other than a card that depicts the Heaven Blade in the moment that it struck down the slobbering god.
Yeah.
Man, have I told you this, Rosie?
Yeah.
Every time we play, I always draw the secret backpack and I never get a chance to play it.
Tough breaks. And Rose reaches out her wings and pulls the cards towards her like a seasoned gambler.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that means you get these candies. And I think the sealed jar of candy, mm-hmm. isn't it, was in Mooch's possession, but hasn't been opened because I think the few times that he's gotten it, Rosie has like always like challenged him to a game over like whether or not they open it and eat it.
Well, that means I get to keep it to make music. And Rose begins shaking the jar of candies like it's a musical instrument to a beat. You don't get to eat the candies. I get to make a tune. You don't get to eat the candies. I get to put in a song. Yeah. Candy song. Candy song. Candy song.
I kind of want the frog that we're sitting on to like start a chirp, a call that is like kind of a serenade that matches the rhythm of the bouncing candies in the jar. Mm-hmm. And that mixes with like the rushing water around us and the flitting of the wings of the many prismatic butterflies. There's just this beautiful moment that we share. I kind of think like geckos cannot close their eyes, but there is a way that Mooch looks stiller and more calm. His like eyes like narrow to those like line little slits, and it's just a moment of calm and peace and mindfulness that is shared in the slow layabout tune that plays in beat with these candies.
And then I think a turtle slams their way out of the tavern.
Children! 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 You! And fully levels, Lawrence levels his cane at that frog and says, "You now! What the devil is the meaning of this?" And just surges up through the water. And I think Lawrence does a lot of work through his like demeanor and whatever to be pretty non, but suddenly you're like, that's an alligator snapping turtle. That's like a and like his whole beak opens up and you know that he can like crack a log in half with that mouth. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, scary.
Yeah.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. Can we say like some of the frogs get kind of like thrown to the side like yeah. a little bit as you're like diving upwards.
Lawrence,
there's like a slow-mo frog just like slowly like
yeah Lawrence just like powering through the wall like running underwater like upwards towards the thing being like, "I'm no spring chicken, but back in my days at preparatory school I was something of a devil on the rugby field." Just
I have to imagine the other frogs are like moving away, not because it's a big scary snapping turtle, but because they've recognized that this person has a type A personality and they're afraid that
it would cheese their vibe
in his gravity. Yeah. He could make them do work conceivably. Yeah.
They're just like flittering away really quickly.
Yeah.
One's still like doing a beat on their stomach, but also with one foot.
Yeah, I think over there, Lawrence looks around and says, "Now hold on a minute. You're not frogs at all. You're layabouts! Layabouts, a lot of you! Apply yourselves!"
Oh, I got to imagine your finger, like, pointing, your claw pointing in the air. Like, one is struck, like, through the heart, basically, by that point, and is, like, suddenly overcome with the motivation to put his life together.
And then another frog grabs that frog on the shoulder and goes, "No, we are applying ourselves. We're applying ourselves to relaxation." And they both nod solemnly.
Incredible. Yeah, I'm going to go collect the two. I'm going to go and just like hoist Mooch and Rose off of that frog. And I'm going to plop them both on the sort of muddy earth in front of the tavern and go, "My goodness, children, you scared the blazes out of Tinsel and Nisha and I running off like that in the middle of dinner out to cavort around with some unknown frog. Rose."
"Well, I'm glad you're not on fire anymore."
"You're glad I'm not what?"
"I scared the blazes out of you."
"First of all, Rose, why would you be surprised that I'm not on fire anymore if you had scared the blazes out of me? Just legit."
"I'm not surprised, I'm glad."
"Oh, you're glad. You're glad I'm not on fire? Well, liar, liar, pants on fire, because my nose is as long. I mean, I'll figure out how to roast you later. All right, you get in line behind Mooch and the other."
Those roasts are just piling up.
"I'll get around to them, all right? I've got a lot on my plate. And I'm for you to be talking back of all people, young Mr. Mooch."
Rose crosses her wings and turns her head 180. So she's not looking at you anymore.
"Young lady, you turn your head back around this instant."
"No."
"Well, I never. You know, I'm going to look at Mooch. And I think maybe a little unfairly, I will go, now, what's the idea here, Mooch? You know, Rose has enough to worry about as it is without you luring her out here into trouble and harm's way."
I think, like, Mooch takes that, and I think, like, takes it to heart a little bit, like, feels bad. You know, the thing about Mooch, the conflict that exists within Mooch's soul is, Mooch does not trust authority figures, but is respectful. So if there is a rule set before Mooch, Mooch is going to break that rule, right? Like, rules are, that's what they're there for. But seeing that the distress that you have, the like genuine fear and anguish on Lawrence's face, Mooch shrinks a bit. And like takes his hat off his head and like puts it in his hands and is like, you know, clinging to it and going, "Lawrence, I'm sorry. I just, you know, we saw the whirlpool and it seemed like it would be so much fun. And, you know, it's going to happen a lot sooner than anybody thinks it is. And geez, gonna have to be ready when it does, and I figured if you were gonna have fun, we should probably be having it now."
That last line absolutely breaks Lawrence's heart, but he's a good and responsible caretaker for children, so he's not gonna put his emotional turmoil on his face to become these kids' problems. So he stays very stern looking. He gets down on one knee. "It takes a lion's heart to apologize and to wish to amend one's ways. And I am sorry that I raised my voice, young Master Mooch. I very much appreciate you saying what you've said, and I know that you did not mean any harm, and I know you never will, my friend. Now, I am going to try to keep you as safe as I can. And part of doing that is not just me being able to keep an eye on you, but perhaps me also sharing with you what I know and being honest with you, which perhaps I could have done a better job of all along. Mooch, your dreams, I think maybe you know,
frightening at times, and I wish I could tell you what many elder beasts have often told the young cubs of the heath before, that they are nothing more than a simple story that your mind sings to itself in the dark of night, but there are forces at work in the heath, older and perhaps stranger than any beast has a right to know. And the figure you have seen in your dreams, I have seen too. Not only in my dreams as well, but I have seen them face to face. This is a very frightening thought, and I wouldn't fault you if you were scared. I'm scared too. But I know that we're
I ain't never been scared of nothing in my whole life.
Well, then you should take care of me, and I hope you will. Will you take care of me, Mooch?
Oh my gosh, you just sound like the figure of my strange dreams. It always says, take care of the people closest to you. Keep them close at hand, because it will happen quicker than anybody anticipates, and when it does, you'll be glad for the care that you took when you had them.
I'm actually going to look at Mooch here and say, well,
I suspect, in that case, I'm just an old cranky turtle. So, if you ever have to make a decision, I would take care of your good friend Rose before you take care of me. I think that in the times to come, it is possible that there may be some strange forces at work that may have some designs on the safety of some of our companions, and maybe, maybe of Rose in particular, and I know that you looking out for her like a good... like a good friend would. It would mean an awful lot to me, certainly, Mooch.
I mean... hold up. You got to slow down a little bit, because I'm taking in a lot here. Are you telling me that... All the things that who's his face in my dream says that Tinsel and Nisha gotta do, they gotta do?
The person in your dreams had instructions for Nisha and Tinsel.
Oh my goodness. Endless instructions. It's like talking to you sometimes.
Mooch, did you write these instructions down? Do you have a clear recollection of them?
I absolutely do not!
No, Mooch! No! All right, it's fine. You haven't done anything wrong. You're a child. You are a child.
Law dog, listen to me.
Law dog?
I've been thinking a lot about... Yeah, it's a new nickname I'm trying out for you. I have been doing a lot of thinking over the last couple of minutes. And look, you might just be an old cranky turtle.
Certainly am.
But you are an old cranky turtle with the heart of a lion. And I learned that because a wise person that I knew once told me that anyone who has the strength to apologize has the heart of a lion.
You're describing me mere moments ago.
Who's to say?
Me!
What I do know is that maybe... After this, I'll consider doing what you told me and writing some of this stuff down. But I gotta tell you, it's very involved. And adults have this tone of voice when they've told you the same thing like dozens to hundreds of times. It's like it hits a tone of exasperation, and it feels like it's like the humming of a fly. It just like turns to a high-pitched whining whiz, and it's so hard to focus on any individual thing. It's all just like, you must do this, and they have to go here, or else everything is at stake. No, thank you. But I'll try for you.
Mooch, I have never been more serious in my life than when I say this to you now. If you can just even give it a good 70% effort on writing down whatever you can remember from your dreams, I will drive myself to the brink of bankruptcy buying you as much candy as you can eat.
Rose turns her head back around. Me too?
No, because you're going to start making up dreams. I know what your tricks are. I know what...
She hops.
Yeah, I think with that, like, Mooch will, like, put out a hand, a sticky little hand to shake, and goes, Law Dog, you got it.
Moochmeister, you put it right there.
And, like, his hand sticks to your hand, and he pulls you in with it, and then licks his eye, which, of course, as we know, is Mooch winking.
I will nod, and I will say,
very well. I'm glad that we are of now a like mind on this matter. Let's get back inside, because I didn't get any pie, and I'm about to pass out. I'm so hungry.
Rose looks aghast and goes, oh no, you need to get some pie.
Well do I know it, my girl. Well do I know it. Let's get back inside, and if I don't get pie, I am going to cry. You'll see me cry if I don't get some of that pie from in there. I'll head back into the tavern with the kids.
Nice. So what are Nisha and Tinsel doing when everyone gets back inside?
Nisha has been making a pile of pies. As like, she was like, the kids, and then got kind of distracted as we were heading over, and is now just making this pile. Like, I feel like, was I supposed to be doing something else? As she like puts another pie into the pile.
Tell me about some of these pies.
Ooh, so there's one that has a golden crust all over it, and it is piled high. Like, it is the pie looks like it's double the height of the little container that it's in. And a really warm, kind of savory smell is coming off of it. So it smells a little bit like there might be like a cream sauce in there and maybe some roasted veggies. Can kind of see just peeking out of like a little pattern, like a pattern of a star on the top that is cut out. You can see bits of carrot and bits of broccoli. So she's just like putting that one on the very top, and this pile is a little wobbly now. doesn't really know how to pile things according to size. So there are a lot of little pies at the bottom and a lot of big pies on top.
Adira, could I add a culinary specialty to this place?
Oh, sure.
It's been haunting me since I thought about the fact that we're animals and there are berries everywhere. And to animals, berries could be very big.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of berry blasters, which is a confection made where they take a berry and they'll dip it in water and then dip that in sugar, and it's around the berry, then they'll cover that in pie crust and they'll deep fry that and serve it on a toothpick or skewer, and you dip it in whipped cream, and they're it's like a sweet sort of popcorn shrimp equivalent. I feel
like as Nisha has been putting this pile together, she just sees that it's like a table side thing that they make. So she's just like slowly placing a pie as she sees them like dipping this berry in the water and the sugar, and just like, I guess a bird wouldn't be drooling, but she is making a face as if she is drooling.
And I think as you're looking in that direction, that's when Tinsel's head pops up and like blocks your point of view like they just pop in. Because they've been like actually scouring, like going underneath all the tables and like looking around. Like somehow they got behind the bar without Petunia noticing for a minute, trying to find the children.
You see just like little montage of all the moments.
You just see oh, they don't have pointy ears up, but you'll see, like, the little tail, and it's occasionally just, like, poking out, like, on the cage, just around.
Like, you're looking under a table, and you just see the ear flopped on the ground under the benches.
Yeah, or it's actually, like, on the table, because...
Yeah.
There's no control of these things, they're just everywhere.
I think the hog in a towel is helping you.
Oh,
and trying to, like, sort of point out, like, you didn't look over there yet.
Oh, thank you for that. And I think they look up and like nod and like quickly like scurry off.
as you guys are getting the berry blasters ready, I'm going to look over and say like to the hog and go, "Oh my good friend, let's get you washed up. Shall we begin? All right, you beasts over there, form a line behind me." And I'm going to take my jacket off and roll my sleeves up.
Oh no!
Oh, let's get this hog washed.
By the way,
two otters come over with a big tub, a massive wooden washing tub. They slam it on top of a table. Nisha's pie tower just sort of wavers and shakes, and your firelight catches it as the little fly glowing holds up your pie stack.
Incredible. I'm going to roll my sleeves up and just lean over, like, as I'm getting, it's all business, but I'm just lean over and say, by the way, my good man, my name's Lawrence.
Oh. I'm Philip.
Philip, pleasure to meet you. I'm just going to start on the back and shoulders and go around to the sides, and you just direct me more pressure, less pressure, hotter, colder, anything else like that. If we get to a sort of, you know, a zone that you'd prefer to sort of move into an autopilot situation and handle yourself, then you just let me know. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
This is happening in the bar, correct?
Yeah. On top of one of the tables.
If we're not central, Lawrence will make sure we are more central. It's like we want the lighting to be even so I can see if there's any spots I've missed.
Yeah. What is Tinsel doing?
I think Tinsel's like, if a bunny can blush, there's a big old blush like that's happening as they're like not trying to look. And like trying to be like proper, but like also trying to like make sure the kids, they get the kids.
Tinsel, I was going to look over and say, why are you hiding the children? The children should see this. This is proper hygiene. They should be encouraging everyone. What's strange about two men bathing publicly? What's so strange about that? I ask you.
I think Tinsel's blush is brighter as they find an empanada like on a table and they just start like nibbling on the end of it. It turns around.
You know,
I mean, it Lawrence's university days. They must have done this all the time.
University. Yeah. We were after a solarium. We would all head down to the public bars and we would drink and be merry and wash each other. This is the height of civilized society to bathe one another. I shan't have aspersions cast at me.
And you just see an ear, just sort of like they pull an ear up and like pass it over their eye. It's so cute.
Yeah.
I feel like Nisha has seen this like go together before and knows that Lawrence will just get into a vibe. So she runs off and grabs some of those berry blasters and comes back and is like, Lawrence, you have to keep your strength up. And just like puts one right in front of your mouth.
Just get the whole thing in one bite. Nisha, you are so kind. You know, what would I do without my dear friend?
And she looks over at Tinsel and she's like, this has happened before. And she just has like all of her feathers are just full of a bunch of berry blasters that she's just gonna every once in a while feed to you.
I think one ear like pop, like this ear slowly just like moves off of an eyeball, like an eye, so like they can like look and be like, is this, you said this is normal? I have never seen anything like this. This is fascinating though.
It's academics.
I don't know, but okay.
I'm up there with like two really soapy claws, like massaging the Philip's triceps. Mm-hmm. You know,
you've managed to get some incredible definition on your triceps here, my good friend. This is remarkable.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I really try and do a lot of rowing.
Back when I was on the rowing team at preparatory school, those were the days. There's nothing like it. Get out of the water right before the break of dawn, with the mist rising off of the lake. It's incredible. You have a rower's physique, Philip. And I would have said it to you before. I would have said, that hog has a rower's physique.
The only problem is my boat keeps crashing every time I come down the waterfall.
Oh, are you trying to row down the waterfall?
I mean, how else am I going to get down this sinkhole?
Philip, I am so glad we met. Classic mistake. Rowing boats can't go down waterfalls. Believe me, I wish I was a few boats deep before someone finally explained it to me myself. But a rowing boat requires level water, my good man. So.
What do you use for vertical water then?
Well, for vertical water, what I do is either I will, if it's a short enough distance, I will simply leap up the waterfall. But that's normally only possible if the waterfall is only several inches high. Anything beyond that, and it's practically unleapable, my good man. You should have to find some way.
I don't know how anyone could leap higher than that.
No. A few inches is all I can manage. No, certainly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think as they're chatting away, I think eventually Tinsel sort of settled down at the table and like opens up a journal and starts like taking notes about the public bathing experiences that are happening in this tavern. And while doing that, I guess wherever Rose is, I think maybe try to teach Rose some of her letters, like just
Rose is definitely like sitting next to you eating one of the empanadas that you were also nibbling on. And we'll be like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. It's that time of day, I guess. And she's working on the various calligraphies and things that you're teaching her.
Yeah, because if she's going to be sitting next to me and, like, around me, we'll know how to write.
Misha's, like, dozing off just a little bit. And then it's like, oh, did you get that corner, Lawrence? And then, like, holds up a berry blaster again.
I kind of think if Rose and Tinsel are together, and after just the talk that Mooch had with Lawrence, like he's going to approach Tinsel with like some trepidation and go, Tinsel, can I level with you?
Okay.
You know that I know we don't really talk about it that much, but you know that jar of candy that you keep in your pack?
Yes, of course. We don't ever talk about it at all.
Yeah. This is hard for me to say. I've been trying to eat that jar of candy.
I know. It's the jar that's right in... And they look in their bag, and they're like, oh no.
Rose.
It's a jar that's right here. I have this jar of candy. Rose, I took it from you earlier. Rose, like, I think he says this, like, holding the jar, but really he's, like, kind of holding Rose, because the jar is very, it's a big jar. It's a big jar, and Rose is a little owl. I've been trying to eat your jar of candy, and I don't mean no disrespect by trying to eat that jar of candy. And am I motivated by my desire to experience candy in my little gecko jaws? Yes, that's part of it. It's a big part of it, a huge part of it. But there is something else that I think I'm finally ready to admit. Tinsel, I think that jar is eventually going to take you away from us. Lawrence and Rose and I. And I've been trying to eat that jar of candy because I don't want you to leave. But I think you have to.
Oh, ouch.
And I think, like, Tinsel scoots over and, like, wraps an arm, and like somehow an ear gets wrapped up too, because the ears are always in the way. And like pulls them in close. And
I mean, they're like big blankets.
They are.
It's perfect.
And I think they sit there and look, and they're like, one, candy is delicious. We'll have to experience it. I actually know maybe a little place on my route that has a candy shop that I can take you and everybody.
You telling me that people just sell candy?
Mm-hmm. And they,
like,
make it all
for money?
Mm-hmm.
Rose goes,
what,
wow.
Kind of a jerk gives away money? Or gives away candy for money? You can't eat money.
Wow.
I mean, there's actually some candies that look like money.
Wow.
I'll have to show you. But getting to your other point, my job does have me travel. It's true. And I will have to go on other adventures like I've been doing with my moth
with my mom's stuff. And, but that doesn't mean, like, I'm ever gonna leave you. Sure, I may have to wander away from time to time, but, like, I always come back. And if we are still working together, maybe you just can come along with me and see the world.
Yeah, but if you go away, it's not going to feel good. I don't want any of you to go away. I like traveling with all of you. I like it when you read the titles of your mail, and I like it when Nisha goes through their books, and I thought that I could put a stop to that.
I mean, you can't stop things, but you can definitely add to them. Sure, you don't want us to leave or anything like that, but think of the stories we'll have when we come back to tell you, and like the things we can bring, and maybe we can bring you along with us and like show you all these fascinating places around the world, because there is so much to learn. Even I learn, and I've been doing this for so long by now.
Yeah, I think Mooch, like, kind of nods quietly and, like, leans in to your comforting, like, hug for a little bit.
Yeah, they'll rest their head on their hood.
Yeah.
And I think with that, well, there's a moment of quiet and be like, you know what? Before I met you, I didn't think my job would have me. I mean, I met tons of interesting people, but none that I didn't ever want to leave. And being around you and you, and looks at little Rose that's sitting next to them, and like wraps another ear around them and like pulls her closer.
Rose is like, ah.
Maybe realize, like, even though I do travel and my heart is in the road and like in the postal service, I can find hearts and might plant them and have them grow and that love to grow in people. And that's what you two are, my little seedlings. And then like with that, we'll like playfully like, you know, give them like a little like rub on the heads.
You plant seeds in people's hearts?
That's what love is.
Holy cow. Did you know that hope is a big condor?
No, I didn't. What is that about?
I think we could like cut away as he like animatedly tries to explain that hope is hatched from eggs and it turns into big condors that
and
wear
I,
aprons.
And I think with that, like, there's a Tinsel flips a page open to a new page and starts like writing down everything that he's saying.
Yeah, I think the camera sort of like pulls back as we see all of you within the tavern. Philip is being washed vigorously by a frog and an otter. Lawrence has taken a well-deserved break with a couple of delicious pies, each one larger than the last.
Oh my god, Tinsel, in your like entry as you're like writing down all these things, the title of this evening has to be Hogwash. So you write down my ludicrous theories on how hope is actually a big condor, and it's all titled Hogwash, and that, oh, that feels so good.
Yeah, because it's within the same, like, notation. It's just the next page over, so it's not going to get mixed in with the actual, like, washing of the hog.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not notated as a new, like, chapter in the book yet.
Yeah, I think Rose is trying to, like, sort of copy the beautiful way that you wrote Hogwash, and Nisha's, like, firefly is floating above all of you as, like, Nisha is next to now a conquered mountain of pies, dozing with the bit of the sun that's still up. And a large butterfly lands on top of the tavern, its glowing wings glistening in the water as you see the little reflections of all of the happy faces inside within this beautiful stained glass butterfly. Wander home.
Beautiful.
Ah!
Wander home.
That's a wander Yay! Home if I heard it.
Mm-hmm. Now that's what you call a wander home.
Folks, that's a wander home, and home we did wander. Adira, thank you so much. Thank you so much for...
Thank you so much for running that. Thank you.
It's a fun game to run.
And a big thank you, but Morgan and Rue, thank you so much for joining. And Brennan, of course, thank you. Like, what a lovely...
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you, James.
True delight. Same. True delight.
This episode of One Shot uses music from the following artists: Above All Else by Wild Wonder, Omega and Tomorrow by Scott Buckley, Lazy River by The Tide Rippers, Her Prince Charming by Young Kool-Aid, Hope Is Found by Moments, Typewriter Letters by Cody Martin, and Arise by Kayla Bethridge. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy.
Well, heroes, that's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry. We'll be back next week with Babes in the Woods. In the meantime, be sure to check out some of the other amazing gaming shows here on the One Shot Network.
Like A Horror Borealis. A Horror Borealis is an actual play Monster of the Week podcast set in the 1990s in the fictional town of Revenant, Alaska, just south of the nation's least visited national park, and way north of everything else. A reclusive small game hunter with a magical secret, a young anarchist librarian with a passion for conspiracy theory, and a sensible park ranger with a strong local book club following find themselves pulled together by common threads woven mysteriously into their past when monsters begin plaguing their tiny community. But they soon discover the things they're fighting run much deeper and much closer to home. Tune in for a story about identity, empathy, community, mental illness, and healing. And stay for the beloved local diner. You can find A Horror Borealis on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As always, we end One Shot with a call to action. Heroes, I'd like to urge you to go out and call your representatives. Calling a representative is a great way to directly advocate for an issue. It's a way that many elected officials keep a temperature of what their constituents are looking for, and because not many people do it, an individual caller can make a huge difference. When I call my representatives, I use a site called 5calls.org. That's the number 5calls.org. There you can find a list of issue summaries from around the country, along with contact information for your reps and scripts to read while you're on the phone to help you get your message across. Calling is quick, and it can make a vital difference. Thanks, heroes.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet.
courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes. In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.